Hey y'all, before we jump into today's episode, we would like to invite you to a special event we're hosting on May 30th called Women in Whiskey. Join us for an adult field trip filled with Southern fun at the Jack Daniel's Distillery right here in our home state of Tennessee. Get ready to learn while sipping. We will be taking a private tour of the distillery, enjoy a barbecue lunch on the beautiful hillside, and partake in early happy hour with cocktails provided by Jack Daniel's as we listen in on a conversation with women who work in the industry. The conversation will be led by yours truly, your hosts of the Steel Magnolias Podcast. Learn more about the event at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com. You can grab your tickets there, and we cannot wait to see you on May 30th. And now, on with the show. What would you do if you found yourself as a newly married couple and your husband brought home wild game, leaving it up to you to figure out what's for dinner? We got the chance to talk to Stacy Lynn Harris, who found herself in just such a situation. Stacy Lynn is the host of The Sporting Chef on Outdoor TV. She's an Alabama native, mother of seven, and I can safely say one of the most interesting guests we've ever had on this show. Lainey and I got the chance to talk to her about how she cooks up wild game and her new cookbook. So, whether you've got a hunter in your life or not, I think you'll find this conversation very fascinating. Meet you at the table. Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast. We are two sisters here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
The South is full of beautiful diversity in landscape, people groups, and culture, and we want to showcase each part. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up your chair.
Here we are with a fellow double namer, Stacy Lynn Harris. Yeah. We are so excited to be with you this morning. Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast.
I couldn't be more excited to be here. Y'all are so awesome. I've been listening to all y'all's episodes and just like catching up. It has been fantastic. Y'all are awesome.
Well, thank you.
And we are so glad to be with you.
We feel like we're with a kindred spirit already. Yes. So tell us, Stacy Lynn, I'm going to probably say Stacy Lynn as much as I can because I love a double name. Tell us, just let's start from the beginning. Tell us about your upbringing here in the South. Where were you raised?
Well, I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama. So like right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of Alabama. My mom, you know, more of a city girl type. My dad, he and you know, they were divorced at an early age. She was in Vietnam anyway, a lot of stuff with that. But he lived in the country. So I kind of had a little bit of both worlds. My mom was a career woman, you know, type person. You know, my dad was an outdoorsman, did a lot of fishing and hunting. And so I would go to his house and, you know, it was like entering a whole different world. And I can't say that I just, you know, that I loved it. But I did get to go swimming in the creek, and that was like loads of fun. And then I ended up meeting my husband, who was a really big hunter. So then my dad and he had in common this hunting and fishing and outdoors, you know, lifestyle and gardening and the whole nine yards. And so so that is kind of interesting, but that's where the lawyer in me is, my mom and the Mary and the hunter and outdoorsman, and then becoming that has been with my husband. So that's a little bit of a backstory, but
my goodness, yeah. They need a little asterisk in your bio that also says, and also a lawyer. Because right? I mean, everything I've read about you is talking about just the Southern content you've been creating, the cooking, the writing.
The mother of seven.
Homeschooler, homesteader. I mean, but also lawyer. Oh my gosh, you just dropped that in there like that was so casual. You are amazing in all that you are tackling.
No, I'm really not. But
I want to hear more about, now, where did you meet your husband?
Yeah. Yeah.
We met at his dad's Bible study the summer before I went to college. And then there was this dance. And it was so funny because all of my children have started at the college that I graduated. He and I both graduated from. And it was just Auburn University at Montgomery. Anyway, it's a offshoot of Auburn. And a couple of them have gone to Auburn because they're engineering majors and you can't do that at AUM. AUM. But we met in one particular spot at AUM, and it's like right then it was kind of like birds were singing, and you know, I was under the stars, and I'm like, yeah, this is the man I'm going to marry. And but then, you know, I had had a high school boyfriend that I couldn't quite shake, and anyway, it was 7 years before we ended up getting married. So it was kind of an on again, off again relationship. But I knew right that moment, I really did, that, you know, that we were gonna be married.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now you knew that you were gonna get married, but did you know, and did he know going into marriage what a big hunter he was? Was that already something that you were fully aware of?
I did, because and he did, because his dad said, if you can't give up hunting for her, then you don't need to get married to her. And so this was kind of a big issue. In fact, he was going to ask me to marry him several months before he did, because he wasn't quite sure he could give up hunting. And so, and it's still just a huge, huge deal. But he backed up when we got married to only going, you know, I think he went every morning, I think, instead of every morning and afternoon. I don't know, but it was a lot. It so was a 50, lot.
The 50% cut was still going every day.
It was still going strong. And I don't know anybody else who does that. I mean, who does as much as he does. I really don't. I mean, he is like a Daniel Boone for real. And he just loves it. I mean, every kind of hunting, duck, deer, you know, quail, dove, you name it, turkey, and he does it. Wow. And all of my kids do it too. So that's been a real blessing. So I had a problem with it when we were first married. I had a major problem with it, and I kept bucking him, and I would, like, you know, go, oh, are you going again? I was trying to be the Holy Spirit. And it finally one day it was like, you're not the Holy Spirit. You need to stop bucking him and try to get on board with this, because this is what your job is. So I was like, oh, okay. So I started cooking it, and that's what, you know, that's how all of this developed. And it's like this great big blessing from something that was a real big struggle to me, you know, at the beginning of our relationship. And I know there's a lot of people out there that can identify with this. So
kind of tell us about the early days of him bringing home what he has caught from his adventure, and now you're going to try to do something with it.
I'm frightened for you listening to that question.
So I only knew how to bake when we got married, and I could bake anything you wanted, but cooking, it was not as easy to me. But so he would bring the deer meat home, and I like to keep in shape, and I didn't want to just eat stuff just for the heck of eating it. I mean, it needs to be good. And that, if it's not good, then I'm going to eat a bite and be like, okay, I'm done with this, because I don't need the calories from something I don't, you know, love. So he was making it and I didn't love it. And so I was like, I need to eat this. I need to learn how to love it. And so I decided to look at old books and stuff. And I looked at, like, really old books where, you know, no hormones or no saline solution, no anything was put into the meat to make it tender or to taste good. And I wanted to, you know, learn how to cook like that. And once I learned that really it has to do with what cut of meat you're using and how you go about preparing it. And when you learn the technique, you got it made. And so I learned all of that. And then I started cooking it, and we started loving it more than we loved the beef and, you know, the chicken you could get from the store and all that. So we started keeping chickens and all, and, you know, anyway, it all, one thing led to the next, because when you're eating great food like that, when you're eating organic food, wild food, you're like, why would I want to eat anything but that? And so you start growing a garden and trying to keep as little pesticides as possible in your garden, and being more conscious of that, because you're eating such healthy food and lean. Lean food. Well.
And maybe this is a silly question, but was he bringing this stuff home already processed, like already cleaned?
No. We were such do-it-yourself people. Yeah. Wow. And he doesn't bring the entire deer home. Now, he will cut it up, you know, on site, because here in the South, you don't have very many days that you can, right. like you can't hang your deer out there and age it. You have to do something with it. So I've created these like buckets that we can put it in and age it in the refrigerator, but he cuts it all up before he gets home, the deer. Now, if he was bringing ducks home or dove home, oh my gosh. And he still does this. And thankfully we live off of the road and I have a nice house. I love my house and everything, but it's not, we do so many weird things. So he brings it home and in the back of the truck and he, you know, pulling off the feathers, they go flying in the air, you know, out here. And I'm sure the neighbors would not enjoy that. And all the dogs would probably just, you know, come and just hang out, you know, next to us and start howling or something. So anyway, but just cleaning all of that stuff, you know, usually it's on the tail of the truck and the front yard.
All right.
Or fish scaling them on my front porch. And like right now I have all kinds of like saws. It sounds terrible, but I have all these saws. But I've just like learned one of my daughter-in-laws, she's a lawyer and she's just like I used to be when I was her age. And she's like, I don't know how you stand this. And so I'm like, well, you know, with age, I've mellowed a lot, you know, I'm not that, I'm still kind of type A, but not, I don't think not like I used to be, or maybe I put it other places. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I'm just trying to picture a young bride. And I think so many people out there, when they came into a relationship, they were like you, I can bake, or I've got my mama's lasagna. I know how to do well, or, you know, I've got my thing, but what you are describing is so stretching. Oh my goodness. Were your friends like, Stacy Lynn, what's going on over at your house over there? Like what's happening?
No, I was in law school at the time and I didn't have many friends. I didn't have time for friends. You know, and they knew really the friends that I had, they knew that he was a big hunter. And so they knew that all of that would probably be going on anyway. And he was, you know, in camouflage all the time. You just never knew, you know, but, you know, that it was just kind of expected. And, but I think the hard part was being in law school. And then with the last year, I got pregnant like 3 months after we got married. And so I still had, I had a baby and then the baby was 6 weeks old, I think, when I graduated law school. So I went that whole time, you know, being pregnant and everything. So it was and then we moved for Scott to go to dental school the day I took the bar exam. So it was like super busy. And then I had to wait for my results. And I was like, I had better pass, because if I didn't pass, I am not taking this again ever.
Yeah.
So thankfully I did.
Wow. Whoa. I'm blown away.
I know. I don't really know how she's had this many hours in every day.
I know. They say we all get 24. I feel like Stacy Lynn has to get more, but I don't know.
No, I always wish for more. And the thing is, I have to sleep. I'm bad, but I have to sleep 9 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm not one of these people that can, you know, do the 3 hour thing. My kids would never want to see me ever if I did that.
Yeah. You've mentioned deer, you've mentioned quail and duck. What is your favorite game to cook?
It would be deer.
Deer.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because, I have, you know, so much more experience with it, but I mean, I like turkey too. I think it's because it's big and because you can make a lot of stuff. And with seven kids, I it's like to do quail or something for seven people, it's a lot. And so, or to do dove, you know, we will have big gallon bags full of dove and we'll use them all. I'll have to cook all of those, you know, to feed everybody. So, but if I have like a hind quarter, which is like the back, kind of like the thigh muscle or right around that of the deer, and I cook it a certain way, I've got, you know, meat for the week. I mean, you know, or you can, you know, it's so, and we also can grind it. And so I've got it's just like going to the grocery store, really. Once you put it up, you just go out to the refrigerator or the freezer and go, oh, I need 3 pounds of ground, you know, meat. And so there it is. And so you just pull it out. And between my husband and all of the kids, we'll usually get 13 deer a year. Now, my oldest two sons are married, so they take their deer, but they come over here to process it. And so I'm not sure when we're going to change that. And maybe I should be happy about that because they're here. But it's usually Sunday afternoons. And so I'm cooking Sunday lunch for everybody. And then they're processing the deer the same time in the same room. And so it gets kind of, it's a very high key house, you know, when everybody's here. It's like, you know, there's a lot going on.
When did your children learn to hunt? Like, at what kind of ages are we talking that you got them going?
Like 6 months old in the backpack. So, I mean, you know, squirrel hunting, you can do a lot of things, you know, out in the woods. And we were out in the woods a lot because I didn't particularly get cabin fever, but my children would get cabin fever and they would need to get out, especially when I had a new baby. So I would take the new baby and put him or her on my back. And then we would go hiking in the woods and, you know, kind of hunting, you know, maybe sort of, you know, everybody was pretty loud, but hunt or fish. We went fishing with my fourth child, Hallett. It's a boy. We went fishing with him on day one that I came home. I think I went straight from the hospital fishing with my dad because the kids just needed to get out. It was, you know,
yeah.
And they just couldn't stay cooped up. So we just all went. So he was like, you know, what is that, 2 or 3 days old? So it starts early.
Everybody's getting their fresh air, their exercise, and then add to it your grocery shopping at the same time.
My mind is blown.
I know.
I try to only go to the grocery store once a week because to do a lot, to get a lot done, I feel like I need to be at home. I mean, home is where all of our energies have been, all of our creativity, all of our ideas, everything happens here. And I didn't want to be on the go all the time, getting ready and putting makeup on and getting out, you know, if I could stay here and do the things I needed to do. So I would try to, and I still keep that same schedule. I still only go once a week to the grocery store. I did try to just go once a month when they were little.
Wow. And so you've got your own garden going too, because that's where you're getting most of your fresh, stuff.
Wow. Yes.
That's the only way you could go that.
Yes. Yeah. And it's great to be able to go outside and get stuff. One time I was shooting the Sporting Chef show and the producer came over it was a day early. And we were getting the chicken coop all nice just in case I went in there. And, you know, we were cleaning up around the house. I had my hair wet. I was experimenting with the turkey breast not the crock pot, but the pressure cooker. I was trying to do a particular recipe. And he showed up and I'm like, I had the wrong day. And so we had to shoot like 8 things that day. And so I was so not ready. The thing is, we had all the meat in the freezer. We had the garden going. So we had like, I don't remember what it was, if it was cabbage or what, but we had some stuff that we could do out there. I always have grits. I mean, what Southerner doesn't have grits? So, you know, you can have your cheese grits and whatever with it. Every kind of wild game goes good with that. And you know, there, so anyway, it was a lot of fun because we were able to come up with so many creative ideas and just use what we had here.
That's brilliant.
So that was a lot of fun.
Tell us about the Sporting Chef show.
Yeah.
How did that all come to be?
Well, I don't even know. I wrote a book called, Healthy Family. I can't remember the name of my books. Happy Healthy Family, Tracking the Outdoors In. And that book got picked up by, they changed the name of it to Wild Game something or another. But anyway, and they got picked up by a publisher. And then they wanted me to write a sustainable living book. And that book came out at the same time that the original Sporting Chef show started with a chef that ended up wanting me to host a show. So then I started hosting the show and that's how all of that came about. So, it's just a real fun show, a real fast show. It's got everybody on it. Like it's got usually, I don't know, between 5 and 8 people that come on and cook their specialty with wild game. So it's a pretty fun show.
Well, we get outdoor TV at my house. So I did get to see an episode I thought that was really cool. The way it cuts away to another, you know, professional in their kitchen. They're talking about what they love cooking. Yes. So, but I didn't realize that where you were standing when in that particular episode, are they all shot at your house on your property?
They are.
Okay.
They are.
Okay. Because, I mean, as you were talking this whole time, I've been thinking there needs to be cameras following Stacey Lynn in her life. I mean, that would be more reality television, and you probably
it would be fun. I'm not sure, you know, how much, I mean, you know, it's like so many different things that happen, I guess, during the day. And I'm like, do I really want everybody to know that? I mean, it's nothing bad, but then you're like, no, I'm not sure I could be under scrutiny all day. That was one thing. I did not want to marry a preacher for that reason. Yes. Isn't that crazy? You know, I dated a guy that was a preacher and I really, really liked him, but I'm like, I don't want to marry a preacher because I like to wear red fingernail polish, you know? And so I like high heels. I like really high heels. I'm not sure I could do it.
It's a high standard. It is. That's a special calling for sure. Well, I don't know if everybody would know where to get to the Sporting Chef. So I'm going to link to it in our show notes so that they can watch you, because it is a very interesting show. Do you like cooking in front of the camera, or is that hard too?
It's hard, but I do like it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do. I think it's a lot of fun. This is the thing, you know, with all of the fast moving hands videos and all of that on like Instagram and all that, I really don't love that. I really like communicating, you know, with people. And I like to be able to say, you know, where this recipe came from. And hey, you're going to really want to pay attention because this icing is a little bit, it will slide. It's better to make it in a sheet pan, or, you know, I want to say some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more of a teacher than just want to show you how to do this. But on Instagram and all that, I do have the reels, and you know, I do all of that kind of stuff too. So
yeah, you're right, you get to add what your grandma would be telling you if she was cooking with you,
over
right,
your shoulder. That's right.
Or the memories, which this book, you know, my new book is like all the memories.
We are so excited. We got a copy of Love Language of the South, your brand new book, which is coming out the day this episode releases, March 5th.
I'm so excited.
And it really is. It's a celebration of the food, the hospitality, and the stories of your Southern home. It is such a beautiful collection. We have so enjoyed looking through it.
We really have. And you have so many good classics in here.
Yes.
If you know, there's so many cookbooks out there, but this one's full of good classics. And then I loved that you put a lot of your game recipes in here and even some really unique twist on some things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love what you chose.
Well, thank you. I did want it to be one of those books that you just were like, oh, that has that in it. You know, like I'm going to do all of my Thanksgiving just like with the recipes in this book or whatever, you know, and where it would be, you know, something that you would use on a regular basis. And so that's and I wanted all of the stories kind of like push the food and all of the food push the stories. And it's kind of like they just like intermeld. And I wrote it that way. But then in the end, I wrote a menu, you know, in the back, like have this for this, you know, occasion and this for this occasion, and also put it in, you know, desserts, appetizers, you know, and stuff.
Yes.
And I have that also because I didn't know with the way I wrote it, if people could find what they wanted.
Yes, that's so good. In the very front, you do have part of your dedication is for your grandma. So tell us a little bit about her and just the impact she had on you.
Well, she was just, she loved me. I guess that was the biggest thing. You know, you name maybe two people in your life that you feel like love you just for who you are and that there's no expectation. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I can say about her. But she was so giving, so loving. She cooked amazing. She cooked for my dad. He worked for the power company and he was an only child. And she cooked for him every day at lunch. So he would go over to her house at lunch every single day. And she would start at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, cooking soup and fried cornbread and or fried chicken and whatever she had going on, peas, beans, you name it. And she was cooking it, and just her service and love for him and for me and the food she had. I just, I've tried to duplicate it. I called my dad the other day because I was doing the fried cornbread, which I feel like is kind of like my specialty. But I called him and I said, now this is not tasting the way Granny's tasted. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So we talked through all the process, and I didn't realize that the flour or the cornmeal she used was taken off of the market. And it was Aunt Jemima cornbread. Anyway, it was taken off the market. When they brought it back under a different name, it wasn't the same anymore. So it's so frustrating. And I'm like, okay, so how can I get that same creamy texture that the inside of that fried cornbread had if I can't use the same stuff? So I don't know. But anyway, White Lily is what you need to use if you're going to be doing it. And it gets pretty close. But just trying to get as to, and she would give you only half the recipe and you had to figure out the rest. She didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she would leave something out or say, dump the flour in. My mama said that she made the soup one time and she said, dump the flour in, and she did, and all clumped up, and she's never been able to make it. And I'm like, we could have kept trying and figuring out what she meant by that, but no. But she was just a lovely person. And she worked at Parisians, and she taught all the time, and she worked there wrapping gifts. That's what she did her whole
life. That's what I did. I did that.
Really?
At Parisians.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Yes. I fell in love with wrapping gifts at Parisians. The greatest department store ever. Yes, it really was.
Yes. And she met so many neat people, and she was like, you know, of course she would brag about me, and I met your grandmother. I'd see some stranger out, and I'm like, I think I was more popular then than I am now, because she was out proclaiming, you know how great I was.
You do get a lot of talk time with people when you're standing there wrapping their gifts, you know, because there's just, you know, even if you're a fast wrapper, there's a little bit of time that you're just kind of shooting the breeze and chit chatting. And I can see where she had some talk time about you. That is too funny. Well, tell us anything else that you just want to highlight about the cookbook, because it's just beautiful.
I think for me, I hope that people will read the stories, and the recipes are good enough for you to buy this book, but I want people to read the stories and understand, like for the hunting and fishing chapter, I talk about how hunting is an art form. And I think, you know, I have a different idea, a different vision of what people would ordinarily think, or the potluck. You know, I've got a chapter on potlucks and on, you know, at the church, and how, you know, of course preachers, they may, you know, have a little weight on them because they have to eat every single person's stuff. And I talk about Southern women and how they're really sweet until they're not. You mess with their kids, you mess with their, you know, people, there's nothing that compares to that. And so just the passion of the Southern people. And we have a lot of passion. And whether it's food, or we can be talking about hunting and we're going to start, you know, some passion here. We talk about, you know, anything. And we're just full of passion. We're just not, you know, like, I think we have a lot of excitement for life. I mean, the most patriotic people in my mind come from the South. You know, we've got a corner on the passion. And I think you can, even fighting over banana pudding, you know, I talk about that, you know. So I think all of that plays into the whole book, you know, and what you want to feed your people. I think another really big thing, and I'm really going to stop talking about it in a minute, but another really big thing is the hospitality aspect of it. And that hospitality is not necessarily just entertaining. It's truly giving yourself to other people, truly giving the needs, whatever the needs are, meeting those needs, having people drop their baggage off, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever, at the door, come in, be refreshed with a cookie and some tea or a piece of cake. I have lots of cakes in the book, by the way, and tea, and you sit there and you listen to them, and you either give feedback depending on if they want it or not, or you don't. And it's like just meeting the needs of people. Mm-hmm. And so I how really Southerners, because I think that we grew up in the Bible Belt, kind of, we have the same characteristics, you know, as the church wanting to serve, wanting to listen, wanting to care for people. And it, even if people are not Christians, it's kind of instinctual, you know, because we live here and this is just what's been passed down. Mm-hmm. And I think you get that also, you know, from the book.
I love that.
And all of that really is a love language.
It is.
I loved that you picked that as your title, the love language of the South.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And food is everywhere in the South. Every place, every occasion, you're going to get the food.
Yes.
So, you know, it is a love language.
It is. Oh, Stacy Lynn, you are such a delight. You have just spoken so many good truths today and just you have shared your passion. And we love your passion because we love the South. And gosh, you're just such a kindred spirit. This has been a really fun conversation.
I've had a great time.
I'm really excited for people to get to know you. Like I said, we'll link to The Sporting Chef, how people can watch you. We'll link to The Love Language of the South, your brand new book, so people can read and cook. Yes. And don't be afraid to cook some wild game.
I know. I have a couple of friends who have told me they don't know what to do with that quail when it comes in. So I now have a place to point them.
Yes.
That red pepper jelly.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
Yes. And in Covey Rise, I did a recipe for them magazine and I did a sweet tea brine with the quail and it is delicious. And you just salt and pepper and you just put it in a skillet and there you have it and serve it with some, you know, peaches. And I mean, it's just delightful and it's not very difficult to do.
Love it. That's a pretty magazine too.
Wow.
It is a pretty magazine.
Wow.
It is. Wow. It is. So, yeah, and people can also, like, a newsletter, sign up at StacyLynnHarris.com, and I'll send you recipes, too, in your inbox.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Hi. I'm going to subscribe to that myself.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna let you go because you have world problems to solve because you are that much of a superwoman. But, again...
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for your time, we do look forward to getting to cross your path again soon.
You've just listened to an episode of the Steel Magnolias Podcast, an independent show funded solely on support from listeners like you and a few advertisers from time to time. For reminders of what we just said and links to what we just mentioned, take a look at the description of this episode. They are right there. Are you enjoying the show? We hope you'll text a friend or a loved one to tell them about the podcast. Make sure they know how to get to a podcast first. And we invite you to join our mailing list to be the first to know about episodes, giveaways, events, and even those gatherings. Sign up at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com.